Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Welcome everybody to the LFC Podcasting Couch. It is episode 88. Two fat ladies. 88 is the same bingo. I am joined on the couch by Mr. the coach, Peter Kafinas.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's good to be back on the podcasting couch. As I was just saying before, the past couple I've done with George, I've actually been in the podcasting stool.
Where is George anyway?
George is actually in Sweden.
Yeah.
He's going to visit family there in Sweden. So it's good to be actually on a comfortable couch right where he's... Hard wooden stool.
You don't like the Xanthus chair, the spare room upstairs.
I wasn't a fan of the podcasting stool. I like the couch.
Okay, cool. This couch is going to be replaced. Clearly, I'm too big time now. I can afford a new couch.
So, yeah, it's a nice big red couch.
That'll be awesome. So that's next on the shopping list, but we'll see how we go. But before we jump into it, we're not going to talk much about this because there's been a lot of warnings out in social media, but it would be remiss of us to not at least mention it. So this is more along the lines of let's pay respects to the families involved. Mm-hmm. But the six people have just been charged over the Hillsborough disaster. I'm going to read it out. So ex-chief superintendent David Duckenfield to be charged with manslaughter of gross negligence of 95 people. I can't even comment on it. I'm just going to leave it at that for now. Yeah. Ex-Chief Constable Sir Norman Bettison will face four charges of misconduct in a public office. Ex-Sheffield Wednesday Club Secretary Graham Mackerel faces charges of breach of health and safety laws. And Solicitor Peter Metcalf, Ex-Superintendent Donald Denton, and Ex-Detective Chief Inspector Alan Foster charged with perverting the course of justice, which... I think the first and the last one is pretty huge, but again, let's not talk about it. The reason why we're not going to talk about it is that we can actually be seen to be potentially swaying the public interest and causing it potentially even a mistrial, even after this has been done. They can, you know, obviously with any case, whenever you get convicted, you can put in a request to have a retrial or anything like that. So right now, what we'll just say is... Hopefully this gives some peace to the families.
You're right. There are many things we want to say, but it's best we don't.
Yeah.
We just have to, like as you just said, we have to pay our respects. That should never happen. Hopefully never does happen ever again to any team.
Yeah.
It's just
it's a tough situation. It's tough because we want to we both felt it.
Yeah.
We both know all about it, but we can't. Unfortunately, everyone who's listening out there, we can't talk about it too much.
And you know what's powerful when we're all the way here in Sydney, Australia, and yet we still feel, obviously not what they would feel, but we still feel the pain and we still feel the sorrow all the way over here. And personally, for me, it struck a few chords. Obviously, I've got a passion for children and obviously there was the youngest, I think, being 14, 12 or 14 years old, that obviously was in the tragedy. And for me, they're just very touchy. And I'm not going to, again, we're not getting into all that stuff, but
it's hard, man.
It is hard to talk about
when
you can't really talk about it.
Yeah, so let's wait until everything's done and dusted and these guys are hopefully in jail and take it from there.
Yeah,
so
let's just leave it at that there.
Can't talk about it too much. Well, let's move on to hopefully some brighter talk. So...
Although on that talk, I mean, this is not I actually always wanted to get, I still plan on getting my 96 kind of tattoo.
Yeah.
Because I've got two Liverpool tattoos at the moment and I'm looking at getting something and adding it to my bigger piece. So yeah.
It's not anywhere too sensitive, is it? Can I take a photo of it?
The one on my back. Yeah, I can show you
that
one.
To the back one. This might be a bit weird now because he's kind of taking his top off in the middle of my living room. So I've got a camera out.
I am taking my shirt off.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. And that is You never walk alone on the back. And you have another one, you said?
Yeah, there's a. I have Steven Gerrard's signature on my ankle.
What?
Yeah.
So, all right. You're one of those guys, huh? SGA. That is beautiful.
So, right. Yeah, I am one of those guys. I'm. I was a football fan before I was a coach or a player. So amazing. At the end of the day, it was Liverpool first, and it always was Liverpool first, and it always will be.
Great. Well, we need that. That's definitely useful. You're not chopping and changing clubs every 5 minutes. You got it. I'm too much of a wuss to get anything tattooed. I'll be absolutely honest. And also, I'm about to get hitched, and she would kill me if I got anything tattooed. Even though I've got a massive love for the club. So
we can hide it. We'll hide it. I'll take
it. I'll need an internal tattoo somehow.
Would you put it somewhere? Oh, I guess no, we can't. You can't hide it from your wife, can you?
Inside the nose or something like that. It'd be awful. We'll work it out. Speaking of tattoos, I see you've been following our friend Firmino on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. He's he's a character, isn't he? Oh, I love him.
He's a lunatic.
And it just seems like
so good.
It seems like he's ran himself to the ground in the season, and he's kind of repaying his body back by the amount of partying and what it seems to be like a lot of drinking as well, by the way. So, I mean, every video he puts up, I mean, whoever's on social media or Instagram, they'd see it. It's not like it's a secret. Every video, he's with somebody, there's not a drink in his hand, which is quite smart the way they hide it, because that's what I've been trained to do. But you just look in the eyes. Their eyes are red, they're bloodshot, they're
messed up,
half closed, it's full on. And I love it. Why not? I mean, towards the end of the season, he wasn't benched or not used because of injuries. It was because his body ran to the ground.
Yeah.
And why not? Reward yourself for the next couple of weeks. As long as you come back in preseason fit and ready to rumble.
Yeah. And like last season, I do remember he came back to preseason and everyone saw he's got chubby cheeks and all kinds of stuff. But by the end of those 9 games and the triple sessions every single day, he was blasting straight up.
And that's what preseason's all about. It's conditioning. So let him have a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Coutinho's not far off, by the way.
Yeah.
Coutinho's not far behind. I mean, I don't know if you've been following, but we've actually got a few of our players have been posting their training in the off season.
Yeah.
So it's not even preseason and they're training. So Dejan Lovren.
Yeah, he's
posted a full on video.
See Lallana's one?
Lallana. Yeah. Danny Ings just recently.
Yeah, yeah.
And my favorite one was Karius at the moment.
Yeah.
He posted one today.
Oh wow.
And the gym session looked quite intense.
Because I saw he was just doing it's like curls or something like that. Nothing too crazy. Maybe that was a few days
ago. There was
a
sled pushes. It was quite up a hill as well. So,
oh, God.
He looks like he's going, he's ready and wants to fight Mignolet. So
literally fight him. Literally just take him out in the car park.
And I can't remember which other player it was, but there's been a few. And I mean, I'm happy. It looks like the players are ready to go.
Yeah, and of course there's always one guy who has to whinge about it. Who was it this time? Was it, I think it was, again, Didi Haman.
Oh, yeah.
What are these players trying to prove?
Does he like us? Is it? What's happened there? So. What's he bitter about?
He hates Klopp. He hates Liverpool.
Bitter Haman.
bitter Haman. Lemon, lime and Hamans. That's odd. I haven't quite got it. And sorry, my head is still slightly in the Hillsborough news, but I'm trying my best to get around it. I've just posted your tattoos online. So you are officially now in the Twitter sphere.
Oh, you have?
Showing your tats. So
I think it'll be the first time they're on social media, actually.
There you go. Look, if you're there and you're watching, there's Peter Kay's tats.
Let me see. Oh.
Yeah. Never Walk Alone. And there you go, the SGA. Bloody beautiful. So I have asked people if you have any Liverpool ink or you have some photos of the internet of some of your best LFC tattoos, share it with us. We might make an album. Why not? So that'll be pretty cool. That is, so how long did that big one take with the two live birds?
That one, that took only a couple of hours.
Jesus.
That was, I actually did it, I went with John Miller's together.
Nice.
But John, by the way, is from the LFC New South Wales committee.
Yep.
And we did ours together that day. And funny enough, so the Gerrard one, there's a story behind it. It was January 2nd when he announced that he was going to leave the club.
Oh, God.
January 2nd is my birthday.
Oh, wow. What a present.
that's my birthday. And it was when he had that big, the letter had come out with his signature at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it. I mean, after crying for, I'm not going to say how long I was crying for because it's embarrassing, but after crying and crying and being upset about your idol, your hero, saying he doesn't want to, or he's leaving the club.
Yeah.
It was at that moment I decided to get the tattoo.
Wow.
So I went on the day that he released, because it was the second, it was my birthday. It was a lovely present from you, Stevie. Thank you.
thanks a lot, Steve.
Yeah, that was really good.
I appreciate that, man.
But so it was that day, and that's the story behind it. It's just, I don't regret it, but it's just one of those ones where it's funny, through all the glory that he brought and the happiness that he brought us,
yeah.
It was on the day that he decided to leave is when I went and did it. It's just odd. Mm. I don't know. But anyway.
Well, you got to remember it, so.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Better time than that. Was that just after, I can't remember, was it just after he was on the bench against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu?
It would have been around then, wasn't it? Because it was January and December was their games. Yeah. I still watch Stevie G video clips and I get emotional. I still do.
Oh man, he's just a different kind of
the
beast.
Tears. It doesn't stop. I don't know. He's got a hold on me. It's
different kind of beast. Did you have a chance to listen to episode 87 by any chance? My chat with
on the way here. I actually started, but never got to the
13 minute mark.
The nitty gritty.
Oh man. That hit me by surprise.
Can you please talk me through it?
Okay. So, this kid, firstly, it got a bit weird because he's been messaging me on Twitter just saying, I'd love to be on your pod sometime. He didn't tell me what location he was,
oh, wow.
Anything like that. I was like, yeah, sure, we'll hook it up. This thing's all community-based, so it's for everybody to jump on and to have a chat if they want to. And I forgot, as I usually do, two or three times, and he kept reminding me how I'd love to be on the pod. Give us a shout. Let me know. And then last night, I was thinking, oh, I've got time to do a pod. I've got some free time on my hands. So I gave him a message. He's like, yeah, cool, cool. I'll come on now. I'm free. I'll be home from work. I was like, home from work? It's like 9 p.m. in Australia.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe he's actually Australian.
And how old?
Well, firstly, he goes, I may be a lot younger than your usual audience. I went, oh, God. Like, what? But wait, he works. So either he's a child slave or he is, or he's hopefully in his teens or something.
Yeah.
And so luckily he came out to be 19 years old. And that's all I knew about this guy.
Oh, wow.
And then he jumps on. He goes, yeah, I'm from Brisbane, blah, blah, blah. I've followed Liverpool my whole life, my granddad, etc. He's from Scotland, and he was born in Scotland, and he's a big Hearts fan. And his granddad was a Hearts fan, Liverpool fan. That's where he got it from.
Uh-huh.
I was like, cool. Talk. And then around the 13-minute mark, we were talking about how he's gone to Liverpool a couple of times to watch a couple of games. And I asked him, when were they? The first one he said was 2007, and the next one he said, I think it was 2013. And I thought, okay, well, which one was more emotional for you, when you were younger or when you're a bit more mature and you knew more about the club? Blah, blah. He goes, no, definitely the first one. He said, the reason why is because it was one of his Make-A-Wish grants. And I was like, what do you mean? And so at 6 years old, he found he had a bad kidney. And by eight or around that time anyway, he got his kidney replaced. And therefore, he was in hospital because he was very, very sick. And they asked him, you know, do you want to go to, you know, to Disneyland or whatever and see Batman? And he's like, no. You know, well, what do you want to do? He goes, I want to see Steven Gerrard. I want to go to see Liverpool. At 8 years old, from Brisbane, never been to England, even though he was born in Scotland, but he moved here when he was very young. But his wish was to see Liverpool play. And so he goes, sees Liverpool play, big emotional time, all that kind of stuff. Then at the end of the pod,
Did they win?
No, it's two draws. I call them the Mourinho version of a fan. I don't think he liked that. But then I missed it. I listened to the pod again this morning and I heard it, but I missed it when I was actually talking to him. Maybe it slipped my mind. But at the end of the pod, I was like, do you want to give a shout out to anyone? Is anyone you thank on this? He goes, yeah, my granddad, because he's the one who gave me the kidney and he's now passed away. I'm like, oh, man. I just got so bloody emotional, dude. So, listen to that pod. It's an incredible story. It came out of the absolute blue. It sounds like something that I would have set up, but it was completely out of nowhere. So
was it Scott, was it?
Shawnee.
Shawnee?
Sean, yeah. Give it a try.
Okay.
It's pretty hardcore.
So does Sean play football? Does he think so?
He's totally healthy now. He's wearing Liverpool top. Cup winners cup, 85-86. He was wearing that top. Right. Solid fan, man. So he's up in Queensland. So if anyone knows him, especially you guys like Liam Parslow and Rob Cinnamon up there in the Queensland OLSC, give my mate Shawnee a bit of a shout out if you could, because that'd be fantastic. Cool.
Oh yeah,
give it a listen, boys.
Yeah, I have to, on the way home. I'm gonna give it a listen for sure.
It's got about 500 listens overnight, so wow. People are liking it, which is good. So keep having it and sharing it.
Whilst we're on the talk of children, actually, I want to give a personal shout out to the child I coach, JT, and
proper footballers.
Oh, you want to talk about proper footballers? He's got the mentality of a proper footballer. Seriously. He's like. He reminds me of like a Jamie Carragher with a left foot because he's left footed.
That's scary, man.
So he loves a tackle.
Yeah,
he's can pass. He's reliable.
Awesome.
And so he's just gone through an ACL surgery.
Oh, man.
Literally. Ugh. And I feel for him. And he's been on our podcast ever since I told him to jump on them, and he's been listening to every single one. So guarantees he listens to this one. So he actually did his ACL.
In game?
At training.
Training.
Ugh. The day he got called up for the under 17s national team for Australia.
Oh, no. God.
So, I mean, we actually bought him a Liverpool jersey.
Nice.
As a sign of we're behind you, we're backing you. And he actually wore the jersey the day of his operation.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Good on him.
So, hopefully, it gave him some strength. And we've obviously supported him the whole way through. But, JT, if you're listening, mate, that's for you. Yeah, and. I'll see you soon, probably tomorrow night.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, JT as well from my side. You only know me by voice anyway. So I've had ACL. I've actually got an ACL on my right, which is snapped already, but it's not caused me any problems and I don't play anymore because I'm old and fat. But I did my left one and I probably had the same operation you're probably going to have, which is they take it at the graft from your hamstring, replace it in there. It takes a little bit longer to heal, but man, you feel it feels stronger than it was before now. So just honestly... keep doing those exercises. Do not skimp out on those because the hardest part's the atrophy. And as long as you keep doing those exercises when you're ready, you'll be fine. I missed out on a few, so it took me a bit longer to get better. So keep up with it, man. And I'm gonna get Peter to let me know all your updates, how you go, and hopefully even get you on the pod once you're ready. If you're bored as well and you're limping around, I've definitely been there. So let me know. Maybe we'll get you on the podcast if you're feeling up to it.
Sounds good.
Come see you in hospital, maybe.
He's got football intelligence, so I'll be interested to see how he goes here. So we'll see how we go.
Cool.
Moving on.
Well, didn't Brendan Rodgers, he had bad knees and he was super smart and he became, you know, now one of Celtic's best ever managers of all time. So I'm not saying you retire early or anything like that, but if it's the smart ones that always make it in the sport no matter what.
And he keeps his mind busy through not just listening to our podcast, but there's also other ones he listens to. And
well, he's clearly smart if he listens to our podcast.
Well, he knows. He goes to the best, right? So.
We are the center of intelligence for sure.
Oh, lovely.
It's all good. What else is happening in football news? Should we talk about, and we do go on transfers again, because no one knows anything.
Yeah, transfers. I had something I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, go for it.
Our youth players, right? So stick on that topic for now.
I'd love to talk about your youth players because I'm not sure if I can talk about your youth players.
So we got...
you're talking about the Liverpool
ones,
players.
Right? Yeah, so we got Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yep.
Woodburn.
Yep.
Wilson.
Yep.
Ojo.
Mm-hmm.
And Eljaria. So we got...
Ryan Kent.
So we got... There's a decent handful of potential... I would call them squad fillers.
Yep.
Right? Is that the reason? Do you reckon Jurgen Klopp believes in them enough to use them throughout the season coming up? Is that why he says he's going for established
first
players?
Thing, yeah, I totally think so.
Because I've been thinking about this for the past couple of days because it's been playing in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, when are these? Because I think Woodburn and Ojo, like they're good.
Yeah.
Alexander Arnold, good.
Yeah.
They're good players.
But. Also, any other man, sorry, I'm jumping in too early. Any other manager in the world would have thrown him in and played them maybe 30, 40 games last season.
And now, this is fine. I hate talking about this team more than anything in the world, right? But Manchester United, there's a particular season. I'll mention the name of the player and you're going to say, aha.
94, 95.
No, it's actually just more, it's more recent, but Frederic Macheda was a youngster at that stage, right? And an unknown footballer. He won in the league that year.
He scored like seven goals or seven very important goals too, didn't he?
And so there's nothing says that we can't have Woodburn Wilson doing that for us at some point of the season when everyone else is, let's say, tired or fatigued or whatever. He's fresh young blood with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So it's one of those ones. It's,
where is he? He's still only 25.
He's still only 25. What? Are you serious? I could have sworn. Oh, wow.
Oh, he has been on loan forever.
It was in the 08 or 09, 08, 09 season, I think it was.
There he is. 08, 2014, Man United. He only made 19 games.
And he won in the league. Was it like the...
Mental. Oh, yeah.
Because I was there. I was in England when it happened. I was there for January.
It was that curler into the right corner or something, wasn't it?
It was against, I think it was a Villa. It was one of the games where he did it and it was just... Anyway, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm just saying, look, nothing says that the players that we currently have can't be just as important for us.
Yeah.
A lot of people were scared to play kids. I think play them if they're ready. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah.
So why not?
At the same time, Ben Woodburn literally jumped because I watched his goal in the under-16s. The goal, I think it was against Everton. The ball was a high ball. He catches on his chest just outside the centre circle. And without even thinking, while the ball is still bouncing because he chests it down, he just kicks it up in the air and goes into the corner of the goal. And it's just like, what? And then everyone's like, this kid's got something. Then he goes under 16s, straight into under 18s, straight into under 21s, which then became under 23s, in the space of 1 year.
Yeah.
And playing for the first team.
Yeah.
So I think Klopp realises that as well at the same time and goes, I don't want to put too much pressure on these kids.
Yeah.
And he could throw them in, and he did play them in that one game where Coutinho and Firmino had to replace him with Stoke or whichever one it was. I think, because I'm as most people who follow me on Twitter know, I'm a huge, huge fan of the under-23s and kids' development. And a lot of them I've seen grow up, the Sterlings and the Suzos. I was super excited about them coming through, and then they both stabbed me in the back.
Well, Suso's been AC Milan's best player for the past couple of seasons.
I think Serie A's best assist maker this year.
Yes.
But I was gunning for him well before he hit the first team. And that's kind of what I like to do. Like, there's a kid right now under 16 called Curtis Jones.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So hardly anyone knows about him, but look him up. I did a video about him not too long ago, just doing one goal. Attacking midfielder, ridiculous feat, really good goal. And
well, there's a few more, like we've forgotten to mention, like Brewster.
Yeah.
Then there's also, we just signed the one from Chelsea, Solanke.
Yeah, Solanke, Dominic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying let's rely on them. I'm saying, is that the reason why Klopp only wants four, possibly five established footballers?
Yeah.
Because he knows that these young boys can do the job.
I think so, for sure.
Because Liverpool's always taken pride in their youth and playing the youngsters and saying, look, we're not just this team that overlooks their youth. Because we take pride in and we've had very successful youth players over the years.
The only one who didn't was Rafa, but that's because we had an era when, Steve Highway wasn't at the club from 2000 through to 2010 or so.
Yeah, but what you'd also, and you'd know, is that Rafa actually revolutionized.
Turned it all around,
our academy.
Yeah.
With the cameras and with everything, with the weight system and everything.
Yeah.
So
Steve Highway left in 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who brought through Michael Owen, Steven Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, Robbie Fowler. He ran it. As soon as he left, suddenly it all dried up. No academy players. And when Rafa came in, he was like, what are you guys doing?
Exactly right.
And he brought like 100 academy players into the club and did all the revolutionising of it and made sure everything was done properly. And then slowly drip fed. Yeah, I think he only gave starts to, I think, 4 academy players in the 6 years he was there.
Well, I think, didn't Brendan Rodgers do 12 in 3 years or whatever it was?
Yeah, I loved that. I loved it a lot.
And there were 12 good ones.
But like, they were because of Rafa's work behind it. So,
And Kenny, when he was there for that two seasons, wherever it was, he did...
Robinson, I think he brought through. He was the youngest one.
Well, Flanagan was the other.
Yeah.
So there's a few. I'm just saying, like, so I was just doing thinking, obviously because I knew we were going to talk tonight, I just thought, do a discussion that people may not be thinking about.
Because
a lot of people are thinking, you know, Van Dijk's and the rest. But something that you wouldn't really discuss with your friends, like, is this the reason why he said he only wants the established players?
Yeah.
Because he knows the youth are good enough? I don't know.
Well, what we're definitely trying to do, in my opinion, is get such strong competition for almost every single role that we could go back to a Rafa rotation policy where we could have Mane starting on the right wing one game, and then the next game, Salah is starting. And then the left wing could be Coutinho. It could be Ben Woodburn. Yeah. It could be Salah on the left. It could be Wilson, Ojo, whoever. The centre could be Firmino. It could be Sturridge. It could be Origi. It could be Ings. Coutinho, Lallana in central attack, midfielder Emre Can and Henderson, potentially Keita if we get Keita and Wijnaldum together. Who knows what's happened with Milner? That's the only one, which is a real sticky one.
So I'm just like, I was just me thinking, me being me, you know, when I'm driving and just thinking about Liverpool, which is
like every minute of every day.
Because, like I said, I love watching the youngsters play.
Mm. Speaking of which, I just want to ask, and I know we can't talk about your role, like I can't talk about my role or anything like that. But do you take any learnings from Liverpool or any of those things and try and implement it into your daily coaching as well?
Yeah. See, it's funny because I'm not just saying it because now he's our manager, but people who've known me for years would know the kind of person I am. I don't do the jumping and the fist bumps that Jurgen Klopp does, but I have that. I love hugging. I love that making you feel like I'm not just your coach. I'm your friend or your mentor, or whatever, your older brother, because I am only young compared to other coaches. And I take a lot from Klopp. I really, really do, because I finally see someone. Because in Australia, it's funny, we frown upon emotion when it comes to football.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're screaming from the sideline, or it's when a player celebrates, oh, why is he celebrating? And it's I don't know where this has come from. I think football is a very emotional game, and if you can't show the passion and how much it means to you, then why are you playing?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's my opinion, and my opinion a lot of time gets me in a little bit of trouble, but that's fine.
Me too, of course.
But it's just that, well, you worked hard all week to play on Saturday.
Yeah.
Your team scores a good team goal that you've been working on all week.
Yeah.
Well, if you're allowed to celebrate it. Mm-hmm. Why not? Yeah. And that's what Jurgen Klopp does.
Yeah.
So if the best in the business are doing it,
yeah,
why can't the people who are aspiring to be the best in the business do the same?
Yeah. I want to bring up what you just said about the team goal stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the team goals, i.e. two of the best ones, well, there's Mane is one of the best ones, we both agree on that.
Yeah.
But Firmino's goal, which Wijnaldum did a long ball over, and obviously Emre Can's goal.
Yeah.
Both of those are actual drills that happened in training that week.
There you go.
So they said this after the game. Let's go with the Lucas one. It was all about the guy running in from the angle, being Emre Can, the ball being held up on the right-hand side and moving into the middle, and it's supposed to be a long ball in. They said it was supposed to be a further ball because it was supposed to be a header, but he said that, don't worry. Like, yeah, the goal still came out of it. Wijnaldum, the exact same thing. The ball is supposed to be played slightly aimlessly around the back towards the edge of the box, while at the same time, one person decides and makes a bursting run just out of the blue. And that happened to be Firmino.
And what a goal.
And what a goal. So the team knows.
That's the volley against Stoke.
That was the volley, the big one.
Yeah.
So it's not just random. It's not just someone just going, oh, I'm going to do a long ball now because I've run out of ideas. All this tippy-tappy around or slow build-up play, it's like a play of chess, something that they've actually practiced.
Yeah.
So when it doesn't work, obviously we get a bit frustrated because it looks like we're just aimlessly passing.
Yeah.
It seems like every single pass is 100% deliberate and trained.
Well, that's exactly right. That's where the money's made. That's what that's why they bring Jurgen Klopp in.
Yeah.
Or you can just have anyone doing that. Like, if you know what I mean? It's just... That's why we bring Klopp in, to bring these kind of things to, because he loves to move the opposition around to create spaces in behind, which is why he loves signing fast players.
Yeah.
So what he does is he goes, you come to me a little bit more, expose your back four, Mane, Salah, whoever it is, off you go.
Right off the back. I noticed that a lot thinking about Barcelona and watching everyone like watches and wants to see what they do so well. But it's fascinating watching them because they're working like opposite waves. You know, when you go to the sea, you see two waves kind of clashing against each other like that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what their attack and midfield do. Constantly, their attackers are sprinting backwards and the midfielders are sprinting forwards. And the defenders are like, who the hell am I supposed to be marking? These attackers are in the box. Now they're running back towards their own half, while at the same time the midfielders are in. Suddenly gaps just appear that way, and it's just so crazy.
And the hardest part about not just creating the gaps, the hardest part is exposing them at the right time, like, because it's offsides, obviously there's a few things. Is the player good enough to make that kind of pass? Like, that's where you sign particular players. Like, it's just the amount of thinking that goes on. And just on your question before, in terms of do I take anything, what I tend to do is, with midfielders that I work with, I like to say, I want you to go home. Like, I draw up on our little board that we've got, I show them this kind of pass for whatever it is. And I say, I want you to go home and look at, like, for example, Xabi Alonso highlight reels of just these, don't put it, goals, put passes and watch these kind of passes that he does and where he does into the area of the field. Because different story if Peter Kafinis is saying, oh, I want you to do this. And they're probably, he's just
making it up.
Whatever he's on about. But then if you see the best who ever do it, who've won World Cups, Champions Leagues, Euros, La Liga and the rest.
Yeah.
We go, oh, hang on a second. There's something behind this.
Yeah.
So yes, we do, not just, obviously, we all like to learn from the best and translate as the best as we can to the children.
Nice. Can you, sorry to talk about you rather than Liverpool right now. Have you got in your mind one of your favourite goals that your team have been able to pull off that you trained?
Oh, yeah. I've actually got a video of it.
Nice. I thought you would.
Yeah, I've got the video. So what I'll do, I'll bring it to you.
Yep.
And if you want
to
put
it up. If we're allowed to show it.
Yeah, like, okay. You'll be allowed. And we'll put it up. Okay. We'll put that one up. Okay. Another one exactly. So, yeah.
Nice.
It's a good 10 to 12 passes.
Does it involve that kid, JT?
No, it didn't.
Damn.
It didn't.
JT, score a goal, man, when you're back. We'll feature you on the pod.
Back to what you're saying with we love to learn from the best. And the best at the moment, in my eyes, is Liverpool and Klopp and the rest. That's it.
Out of the juniors at Liverpool, who do you think has got the most to make it as a long-term star, and why?
It's two, isn't it? I think the composure and just, you know what? The way Trent Alexander-Arnold just adapted, like it's like he's been there forever. He didn't get fazed by anything. Like, I remember John Flanagan's first couple of games, he looked nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget, he put some massive challenges in and that's what got the whole crowd behind him. Like, oh my God, we love Flanagan now. But he can tell there was that he was nervous. With Trent Alexander-Arnold, it's like he's just doesn't care. Like, it doesn't faze him.
Yeah.
And it shows when he plays that confidence to bomb. And he's got those dangly legs that just get him down the line. And I love Trent Alexander-Arnold. I really do. I think he's the one for me. If I'm going to put my house on anything, it will be him.
Yeah. You have mentioned Flanagan a couple of times. I do remember in preseason, and Mane just came in. And John Flanagan was the one supporting him because he was on the right-hand side as well. And, oh my goodness, you could tell the deficiencies in Flanagan's skill level compared to Mane. He just wasn't able to keep up with Mane's thinking. Yeah. And it's where Mane would pass the ball into a perfect space and Flanagan just stood there like, oh, I was supposed to be there. Yeah, like, sorry. Yeah. Maybe if, whatever.
And that's when you've seen Trent just goes in and he actually joins the attack really, really well when he plays.
Yeah.
And I think what better study to have when you're looking at Nathaniel Klein every week.
Yeah, exactly.
I love him as well. Like, he's another one. So
very, very underrated.
Our right side in terms of defense is very sound.
Yeah. And I think people are pissed off because of his last ball. But I always think back and go, man, if the last ball is our worst problem with our right back, I think we're doing pretty good.
And because you're going to bring up something that I always say, and I agree with you. So I can't agree with you more than 100%.
All right, go.
What's a defender's number one job?
To defend.
Then be quiet.
Exactly.
Then be quiet.
He is so good at defending.
So
the amount of intercepts he does. The only thing he can't do well is headering.
Yeah.
That's not his job.
Man. As long as he defends 10 out of 10 every game and he attacks 6 out of 10, then I don't care.
Exactly. Especially when you got Lallana and Coutinho and Firmino and Mane in front of you.
Yeah.
Let them do the attacking.
Yeah. Don't worry.
I get it that it's part of the Klopp philosophy to be able to cross in. He's 25 years old. He's played like 400 professional games already.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of time to become good at crossing, just like Coutinho had plenty of time to get good at shooting.
Yeah.
Because he spent 2 years spacing
Henderson,
them.
Henderson, Chan, the rest. So
Lallana was crap for a full year with us.
Yeah.
And he's an adult. Like, he's,
I mean, he's 29, by the way.
Yeah, no. So he took a long time to just adjust to us.
But that's it's a funny thing with us. I think we've got, if not the best right back in the league, it's the second best right back in the league.
Yeah.
With Kyle Walker and him neck to neck kind of thing.
They want to get rid of Kyle Walker, I heard.
Well, Man City are coming for 40 million or whatever it is. So, but whilst we're on this topic, what about our left back? What's going to happen there?
Yeah, I'm still an Andy Robertson. I'm still pounding that drum.
Well, that's, I don't know if you heard George.
Oh, yeah, you heard your pod.
George and myself, what we spoke about him. Yeah. And we said that.
You actually sounded surprised. I'm like, I knew it. Yeah. I knew when you saw him.
But the thing, he just, he almost looks like, I said in the pod, it looks like a left back version of Nathaniel Klein.
Yeah.
Just safe.
Solid. Yeah, safe completely.
Is what we need.
Yeah.
We need to stop goals, not, You know, so I don't know. But
we don't need a guy who can do 1,000 step overs and like leave that to Salah, leave that to Coutinho. Yeah.
And I don't want to be entering a season, as much as I respect the amount of work he's done, I don't want to be entering the season with James Milner as our left back.
Yep.
I really don't.
I want him to be an option that we bring on for experience, or we play in maybe those big games because we need to have someone who can shout and be vocal.
And in my opinion, James Milner's role next season, it should be like, you know, like a gap filler.
Mm.
So we're a bit short here this week. James Milner, because you just know he's going to give you 8 out of 10, 7 out of 10, no matter where he's playing.
Yeah.
So we're tired in the middle of the park. James Milner can play in the middle of the park.
Yep. Throw him in
wherever it is.
It's another option, as you were just saying before. Yeah. You know, every position is going to have 3 or 4 options. Yeah. But I've hearing people's names like Mendy, he played well in the Champions League, but again, he's playing for Monaco, and I hear Goulam and stuff. I'm like, I've never heard of Goulam before, but apparently he's like a big FIFA guy. Like, he's good on FIFA. That's why people rate him.
Yeah.
Like, I've never watched Goulam.
I never get excited when people come from the French league. I'm not the biggest fan of that league, and I've made it clear before in another pod. So I'm not the biggest fan there.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd rather, here's what he is. I think Bertrand's another one we should be looking at, but that's,
Yeah, well, Bertrand, we wanted him, and he's just proven over and over again. But how many Southampton players can we really take?
I'm sick of that club.
I'm excited by the thought as well. I've seen a lot of people get crazy about who's the Brazilian guy who can't get a goal, who can't get a game at Inter right now.
Oh, Gabigol.
Gabigol. I don't want us to be going for people who can't get a game.
Yeah, but they're looking at loaning him out, not actually selling him.
Mate, I'll take the loan for sure.
Yeah, they're looking at loaning him out to get experience to keep him.
Problem is, you've got like 4 or 5 strikers already. Would you persist? Here's a question for you. Would you take Gabigol on loan or persist with Origi?
Oh, Jesus. That's actually a really good question. And that's why you've got the podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you're the man on the couch. The man on the couch.
I've nicked all of your party mix. I'm so sorry.
shit, you've got me here. Whoop.
You've sworn for the first time. I've done it, people.
That's how you've got me. Look, honestly, I'd keep with Origi. And I know I've made it clear in one of our other pods that I think Origi, in his days, may be numbered at the club. But in terms of bringing in somebody who's not played in the Premier League and have no intel on, I'd stay with Origi, because I'd actually like to move Origi on the wing.
Mostly because we spoke about this last time. He's always trying to get into the last man. I don't think he knows how to play part of that team as a central solo striker.
I think we could use Origi on the wing, maybe, rather than have him as our striker. I think there's more space there for him if he wants to run, and I think we can use him there. And just to answer your question, I'd rather keep Origi.
Yeah, same. I think it's a case of we've got an asset there and we don't want to just get rid of him.
No, he's only 22, I think he is. And
keep developing the guy as much as we can. And I don't know about you, but you must have seen him as well. But I've seen much bigger transitions of players. Like players starting at a much lower position than Origi is now, become very, very good. Especially when we've already seen shades of what he could be in 5-game stints.
Yeah.
And he's done that a few times now.
Well, I hope he becomes a 20-goal season striker, because it stops us from spending $600 million in the next window. So for us, good. I hope he does. Like it's what we need.
Yeah.
Even if Lucas can turn around and score 20 goals next season, whoever it is, it's just we need someone to do it. Like it's just.
I would die a happy man if Lucas scored more than 5 goals in a season.
I think we're getting to that point where we need these players to actually do it now, because this transfer market's driving me nuts.
We can't have a season next season where we aren't properly challenging for a title. I think if FSG are ever going to trust the club again, we need to get close to winning the title, if not win the title.
Obviously, I love a title challenge. That's obviously, because that last one we had was exhilarating.
Yeah.
Apart from the, anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
I think what we need to establish first is consistency in the Premier League. I think we need to consistently finish in the top 4.
Yep.
Before we can kind of say we're ready for a title challenge, I'm not too sure. I mean, I'd love to just go from 6th to 4th to 1st.
Yeah.
But if we're 4th, 3rd, 4th, 3rd, 2nd for the next couple of seasons,
yeah,
it wouldn't bother me too much.
Yeah.
Because it's still constant Champions League.
Yeah.
We can still have buying power because of the Champions League.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's a Premier League's the hardest league in the world.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a, you know, and I think on top of that as well, it's a case that was it Klopp that said about the Championship? He goes, the only difference between the Championship and the Premier League is consistency.
Yeah.
Is that these players can play at that level anytime. They can play at a Premier League level, Premier League winning level, one game, two games in the season. But it, the difference between them and today is that you have to be consistent, which means having a team that can roll around and play 38 games in the season and play as best as possible over 38 games.
I think that's what he's trying to do now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he said he wants, you know, five players. We'll bring him in.
Yeah, exactly. It needs to be done.
Here's another for you then, while we're on that. Who's the next player to come into the club? Who, in your opinion, who is the next?
I think it's Andy Robertson.
Yeah?
I genuinely think, and people are going to be super pissed off until they see the guy play. Like, I seriously think that it's going to be one of those ones where I'm super, super excited by it. But it's I'm going to be one of the few in the world who are going to be excited by it. So that's my reasoning.
Well,
so what's yours then?
In my opinion, our next signing, Oxlade-Chamberlain.
The Ox. Is that another one where it's just going to take over any place in the midfield?
Yeah, I think that's just one another versatility option. Wing, middle.
Yeah.
I think he's played even striker for Arsenal a couple of times. And if we can get him at 25 million, I think that's a bargain.
That is awesome.
With Salah at 35,
yeah.
Oxlade at 25, not bad business.
Yeah, it's really good business.
Not bad business.
You think about if you get those two guys, and then, like, I don't know if Ox is going to be a starter. That's the hard part.
No, but he would definitely be a squad player, like sporadic in and out.
And he's a positive sub. Positive sub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see Lallana doing the same role. So yeah. I can see, like, him and Lallana sharing that responsibility, because he's only 23.
Exactly. He's like, I said a few times now, he's been around for thousands of years.
And he's played that many games in the Premier League. He's been consistently a good player in the Premier League. Okay, his injury record is something to look at.
Yeah.
But for 25 million, it's still not that bad.
No,
considering what's out there and what the prices are for some players, you go, four. So
I did say in the last pod as well, it would be attractive for him to play with more English players coming to World Cup year.
Yeah.
And so playing with Henderson, Lallana and those, and Klein, you know, what better situation could he be in coming to World Cup year? And a manager going, ah, I see you guys interchange beautifully. I'll have all four of you.
Exactly right.
So come on in. And maybe Sturridge, you've had a great, you've scored 40 goals this season. Maybe you should start for England now.
He's the other one that's posting the training videos. It's Daniel Sturridge.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
Daniel Sturridge's been posting a training video.
With his little nose piercing as well.
Yeah, saying it's no lazy days off, I think it was. Yeah.
Going hard. Man, I hope he just has one season. Funny stat. Not funny at all, actually. Horrible stat. He has never started a game for Liverpool in December.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Hard to take.
But he looks good. Like, if you look at the pictures now, again, there are only pictures.
Yeah.
But if you look, his physique looks good.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's put on some muscle. He's...
Yeah.
You got the haircut even.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, you know, I don't know.
He's strong.
I love to see him. And it's good to know that we're not actively selling him.
No, I know. And I hope he's got the fire now. I hope Klopp's giving him that little bit of extra, you know, juju juice, whatever it is, just to make him go, you can be that main man. Just work hard and get there.
No, great. That's great. Yeah. And a lot of people talking about Firmino with the number 9 now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, does that mean he's Klopp's number one choice as our striker?
Yeah.
And there's finally there's some mixed opinions on that.
Yeah.
What do you take? What do you reckon?
Who, sorry?
So what do you reckon about Firmino as our main striker?
I think he is. I think he most definitely is.
I could never, ever argue that. Like,
it's like, he's our number 9.
But so, but funny enough, on Twitter, there's mixed reviews. More like positive than negative. But there's still people saying Firmino can't be our striker.
Mm.
But what people don't understand about Firmino is that he's, I know he's our most intelligent footballer on the pitch.
Yeah.
Far more intelligent than Coutinho even.
Yeah.
Coutinho is more like in terms of magic.
Yeah.
But Firmino's like, what he does, he drags defenders away and creates the spaces for, well, now Salah and Mane.
Scary, isn't it?
You know, so he's like, he can bring two defenders with him because how smart he of his intelligence. And the next thing you know, it's zoom, Mane's gone.
Have you noticed that he can play the role of multiple styles of striker? He can play the target man. He wins nearly every single goal kick, and he's able to hold it up and lay it off.
Was there not a statistic where he had won more aerial duels across the top five leagues across Europe as a striker?
No idea.
But I think it was.
He is phenomenal in the air. So he can play the target man role. He can obviously play the nippy striker role as well because he can do that. He needs to work a little bit in his pace, but that's something you can work on with muscles and stuff like that.
Yeah. See, Luis Suarez was never the quickest, but with the ball, he was... Jesus, like
do anything he wants. Nearly slipped out on the swear word as well. But sorry, kids listening. Sorry, I'm making him a bad person. But Suarez as well. I mean, I don't want to compare him to Suarez because right now it sounds silly. Next year it may not be silly, but right now it sounds silly. But Suarez only scored 11 goals in his first full season. He hit the post 500 times. Everyone was saying he looks like a quality player, but he can't finish to save his life.
Yeah.
That's what we said about him.
What are they saying now?
Yeah, exactly. Now he's just saying he's the best finisher in the world.
Yeah, I still think he's the best striker in the world.
Yeah, he's ridiculous, isn't he? Best out-and-out striker. So,
But that's, then I've got another question for you on Firmino. If he finishes the season with 12 goals, 7 assists, flop or not?
Hell no, because we probably would have scored 90 goals.
Yeah.
What people don't realise is that what Firmino does a lot as well, when he wins the ball back, he lays it off to the left and the right for other people to go in, and he's brought a centre-back. What you're just saying, he's dragged a centre-back with him, which created space for someone else. It would be nice if Firmino didn't have to do that. Because right now it seems like he's covering for an empty attacking midfielder who is pressing to win the ball, or he's being a surprise attack, false nine as they call it.
Yeah.
So right now, if we had more people playing at Firmino's level, then we would have a lot more goals. So remove Coutinho from the left and put him behind Firmino.
Oh, yeah.
Put Salah on the left or Mane on the left.
That's my dream. that's to see that next year, to see a front four of Mane, Salah, Firmino and Coutinho.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
I'd love to know what can happen.
Yeah.
Just sit back on my couch, on the podcasting couch.
Yeah, the actual couch, yeah.
And just watch with a smile. I haven't, like, that season with Brendan Rodgers, I don't think I enjoyed watching Liverpool more in my life.
It was ridiculous, wasn't it? Yeah.
Even more so than this season.
14-game run.
It was just to watch it. Was even Pep Guardiola at the time came out and said, Liverpool are the best playing footballing team in the world right now. And with these kind of, the way we're moving with Klopp at the moment, we're heading back that way.
Yeah. I don't even ask you what the best style is, but I think we all know when Liverpool looks like it's best is when it's doing beautiful first touch, one touch passing in between, doing great triangles. We're making defenders spin around in circles, not knowing where we are, but the ball is moving so quickly that our team looks completely in tune and the defenders don't know what the hell is going on. And then there's that one slide pass that goes behind the defense, the ball goes across the front, someone taps it in.
That's one thing I love watching with Jurgen Klopp. I love watching the fact that out of nowhere we have the ball in the middle of the park. There's tidy passes, you know, back, forth, left, right. We think, okay, what's going to happen here?
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, you've got Wijnaldum or Coutinho just goes, bang, ball in behind there. Yeah. You've got Mane or Firmino, whoever it is, just out of nowhere. There's 20-meter space between them and the goalkeeper all of a sudden. It's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it so good.
It's great. Even Emre Can with some of his back heels.
Oh, we've got good players who can link really, really well.
Yeah.
Really, really, really well.
Yeah. That's so good. Cool, cool. Sweet. And that is perfectly fine. If he did bring in a striker, who do you think they would bring in?
I don't know. I think we're going to... I don't think we're looking for a striker.
No,
I don't think we need one.
Yeah.
With Sturridge, put faith into Sturridge.
Yeah.
One last chance.
Yeah.
Firmino, we know he can do the job, but his body, the amount of kilometres and the way he throws himself about, he may need some rest every now and then, obviously.
Yeah.
Then you look at Origi. Is he going to have his chance? You know, okay, maybe. Danny Ings, we spoke about.
Yeah.
There's four strikers there.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Yeah. I wouldn't actively look. I think we need other positions way before we need a striker.
Definitely.
Left back being one.
Yeah. And we just had that one lull in between when we, because we were scoring goals like nothing before, breaking every Liverpool record in history to that point. And then we had the lull, sadly, in January, February. But if that was alleviated, God knows where we could have been. No one would have been questioning the amount of goals or our attacking ability. But people still seem to question it. I'm like, calm down.
It's just, I think as a team, we struggle with the teams who sit back.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Salah's here, obviously. And I think with Keita, I'm not saying he's coming, but with him, you know, he looks like a midfielder who drives and then tries to get in between.
Yeah, what Emre Can wants to be as well.
So if you're looking at players, now these players are, well, almost specialists at breaking down teams who want to sit back. So I think he's identified that that's a problem for us.
Yeah.
How do we, you know, kind of like counteract that?
Yeah.
So, he knows. He obviously knows what he's doing. And I think that's what Salah's there for.
Cool.
Bit of pace, bit of trickery, bit of unpredictability with his Coutinho, Firmino. And I think if we learn how to beat teams who sit back against us, there's not many teams who could beat us.
I know.
Because the top six obviously couldn't.
Yeah, 20 points against the top six. That's ludicrous.
So there you go.
Imagine if we didn't get those 20 points. Firstly, the top six would have been a lot higher up the table than what they are now.
Yeah.
Because they all lost, what, 2 or 3 points against us at a minimum. And then how far below we would be, 20 points difference, if we just like drew a loss for less than 20 points. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
just typical Liverpool, isn't it?
I personally think it's a much easier fix than what people think. I think fixing beating the crap teams is a lot easier than trying to catch up to the quality of the top six.
Yeah.
Because obviously if everyone could do that, everyone would have done that by now. And there wouldn't be a top six. There would just be a free-for-all every single season.
Because, you know, when you talk with mates and you know, talking about football and you start to go a little bit outrageous, but if you lost every game against the top six, let's say, but you'd beat every single other team.
Yeah.
Would you take that?
If we won the league, exactly. Yeah, because there's 13 other teams, right?
So, even if you never won against the top six, now I'm not saying you have to lose every single one. I'm saying the draws there as well.
You'd win, yeah.
But then you beat all the other ones you expected to beat.
Yep.
It doesn't really matter.
No.
If you lose to United twice, but then you've won the league.
Yeah.
Anyway,
how many seasons is there where teams have been leading and then they just lose to shocking clubs? They lose to the worst. It happens way too often in the Premier League. And it's not because that winning team sucks. It's because we're in the toughest league in the world where the bottom team can beat the top team. But we definitely seem to have a problem against bottom six.
Yeah, and it's been going on forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forever. And it's not like it's brand new that, oh my God, all of a sudden Liverpool can't beat a bottom six. It's been...
We've always competed against the top six, always. Yeah, it's just...
So, like, we're at that point now where we're saying, I wish we could play Man City every week.
Yeah, exactly.
And Chelsea every week.
I love it.
So, yeah, I don't know.
What do you think is going to happen to Chelsea next season? Do you think they're going to go through second season syndrome, or do you think they'll be maybe not just as dominant, but super, super strong still?
Wasn't there just reports coming out that Conte was having arguments with the club because of transfer targets?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden AC Milan are coming in to try and bid for him. So that's not a good start.
Yeah.
I think they're losing Matic to United as well.
Yeah.
See, that's another signing I think, why aren't we going for? Like things like players like Alexandro and Nemanja Matic, these ones who, like we're not, it seems like, I think you said on a cast or was on the Anfield Wrap or whoever it was, it seems at the moment we don't have option B signings. Like if it's not Keita, it's X.
Yeah.
It's no, we only want Keita, like, and we're going for him. It's, there's no, maybe they're doing it on purpose to not kind of reveal our plans or whatever.
Hopefully, yeah.
But there's a lot of, I don't know.
One day we'll have that utopian state where someone does actually get signed and we actually had no idea about it whatsoever. So it's that would be utopian for me. I can't stand in the nose. I can't stand transfer rumours and all this junk. So I'm praying that's the case and that would be absolutely beautiful for us. So, oh man.
Pellegrino now at Southampton?
Seriously? Oh yeah. Was it Pellegrino?
Yeah. Mauricio Pellegrino.
Yeah.
So maybe he could do us a favour. He's Van Dijk, half price.
Yeah, why not? Just chuck it over. That is crazy. Pellegrino's agreement shuts down Liverpool. All right, okay.
Is that what it says there?
Yeah, it's 101 great goals. I don't know if that's the best source of truth. Okay. All three Premier League clubs have been linked to Virgil van Dijk somewhere, are refusing to sell. Right.
Yeah, go away.
And Mauricio Pellegrino agreed to become the boss, refusing to sell any of their top players this summer. Yeah, okay, 101 great goals. So, don't know if that's a greater source of truth. Any other shout-outs you want to give to any of your kids or anyone like that? I probably don't want to single out your kids because you run a proper tight-knit group.
No, don't worry.
Except for that one guy, Jimmy, he's going to make it. The rest are sick.
So, yeah, we can't tell.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No extra shout-outs, I guess. It's just... shout out to everybody who's listening, really.
Yeah, nice. And thanks a lot for everyone who's supporting us.
The support's been unreal.
Yeah, I know.
On Twitter, I've been noticing this. People, like new listeners have also been coming on. So actually, that's my shout out to all the new listeners.
Yeah, please. That was great.
And all the new listeners, bring more listeners with you.
And if you're new listeners and you enjoy what we do, because clearly it's all a bit of fun and we'd like to enjoy ourselves here. If you do want to jump on the pod as well, we do run it via Skype. So we take guests. If you enjoy what we do and you feel like you could jump on, let us know. It'd be great to have you on here.
How long till our next game? How long?
12th of July.
Oh, so it's close.
It's really close. It's like 2 weeks away.
Is that against... When's the one against Bilbao in Dublin?
I think it's like randoms, then it's Watford or something. Yeah. And then I think it's Tranmere first maybe. And that's the 12th. Then next one's the 14th. I think it's against Watford. And then there's like the 21st or something.
And the Audi Cup's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and that's two games, isn't it? The one in Asia? Which one's that?
Audi Cup's in Germany. There's Munich and AC Milan, I think, and one more.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah.
And Bayern Munich, I think, was in that one
too. Yeah.
Christ, we'll see what happens.
So, we beat Barcelona in the last preseason.
Yeah, 4-0. And then we lost to Mainz 4-0 to the game after. So that was like a story of our entire season. Right,
That's a Liverpool story right there.
Yeah, perfect. All right, dude. Well, Pete, thanks a lot for coming down. Awesome. I don't know how long this has been going for, but it's now about 10 p.m. So it should be about an hour that we've got.
We're close to an hour, surely.
Yeah, just about smashed it. So thanks a lot. And thank you, everyone who's been listening. Hope you've had an amazing listen. And please have a good day or night. And goodbye.
Lovely cushion header.